The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. Our tech team ensure your broadband runs at its optimum speed. It's all part of the service.
9.33 or 9.33, depending on who you listen to. 51551 is the text number. Chuck Dunford, good morning to you, Chuck.
Good morning, Ryan. How are things?
Oh, what a pleasure to talk to you.
And likewise.
We had young Annie MacDonald on our I Know Stuff quiz on Friday morning, and all she talked about was you. And, well, it wasn't all that she talked about, but I was just taken aback by her description of your job. Will you tell us the name of your school, what you do there, and give us a kind of a rough run through what you get up to?
I will, yeah. It wasn't Annie brilliant, by the way. She was
wonderful.
Super. Very proud of her. The school's name is Temple Mary National School, and it's about 3 miles outside Killala, between Killala and Lacan, County Mayo. Excuse me, North Mayo.
Yeah.
It's a two-teacher school. When I started there over 30 years ago, it was a one-teacher school. So I was literally less than a year of college into a one-teacher school, teaching 8 classes. And now we're a two-teacher school, just myself and Mrs. Holmes, Sinead Holmes, who's the other teacher. We've 2 rooms and 2 classrooms and a few other rooms. We've a caretaker and secretary, Vera. I better name out all these people.
I respect that entirely, yeah.
Yep. We've 2 SNAs, Rona and Claire, and 2 shared learning support teachers, Pam and Niamh. And then we've Vanessa, who comes in and gives me a break every Tuesday so I can do my admin. And,
so you're a player manager, you're a teacher and principal.
Yeah, it's a two-teacher school. I am a player manager. It sounds small, but it's a very busy, you know, there's great dynamics in it. It's from once you go in the morning, it's non-stop pop to once you leave in the evening. And literally before you get to the gate, it's non-stop pop because you're meeting parents, you're meeting children.
And where are you from originally, Chuck?
From Castlebar originally.
Yeah, so you qualified out of the school, out of college in 89 and became principal at what, 21?
21, yeah, thereabouts.
That's like you're William Pitt the Younger of the teaching world. I mean, that is young.
It is young, but I suppose at the time, a lot of males, young males, were becoming principals very young. A lot of my friends did as well. But I didn't even know what a country school was because I'm a townie. So my mother was from Killala, so I moved down to Killala and I got 3 months in Temple Mary. And it was a good eye-opener because it was the 3 months, we'll say, from Easter to the summer holidays. So in that 3 months, I had confirmation, I had communion, and I was teaching 8 classes and I had the first half of my diplomas, which is when the inspector comes in.
Mm.
So I was writing notes every night for 8 classes. So I was going around in a blur the whole time. But it was, you're dealing with lovely, lovely country children and nice parents. So it makes it an awful lot easier.
It sounds lovely. It sounds kind of, dare I say it, old fashioned. It just sounds like another world in some ways. But you teach 3rd, 4th, 5th and 6th in the one classroom.
In the one classroom, yeah. Yeah.
Now, as somebody who would be very distracted as a child slash a man, what do you do to keep one corner? Yeah, I was saying to Annie the other day, how do you keep one plate spinning and then head over and spin another plate? Do you know what I'm trying to say?
I do, yeah. I heard you saying that and I had visions of plates spinning off all over the place, Ryan.
Tell me about the geography of that, let alone the mental demands of that.
Yeah, well, I suppose when I came from teaching 8 classes to teaching 4 classes, I thought it was a doddle, but it actually isn't. I suppose over the years you learn, you have to try and keep the 4 classes going at the one time.
Mm.
So I stick to a routine in the morning. We come in, we'll say a few prayers, and we'll sort of pray for people locally who are sick or who have died or whatever. And then we always do spellings as a group, we'll say, for the whole room.
Okay.
So I'll do spellings with 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, and it's very, very quick. And then we'll do tables. I'm very traditional. You mentioned old-fashioned there. I think the children need the basics, so I'll do tables. Now, maybe you could have 4th, 5th and 6th on the one set of tables and 3rd on the other set of tables. Then I'll do some phonics, some sounds. And then if we have a tune, we'll all practice the tune together. If we're doing a poem, we'll all do that together. So we'll say the first hour is everybody working together, if you know what I mean, with little divisions within that. And then we'll say after the first break, I might do maths with 5th and 6th while 3rd and 4th are doing English. And then when that's finished, I'll swap over and 3rd and 4th will do maths. So you're literally going around like a fly from pillar to post all day. And I suppose the important thing is you're trying to get the basics done because you have so many classes. You don't have time to have lovely, long, leisurely lessons and sort of you know, do lovely things. It's bang, 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 bang all the time. Make sure that's done, on to the next. Make sure that's done. There's always somebody with a hand up and always somebody waiting.
The love of Suez.
Yeah, so literally you don't stop all day.
No, I don't doubt it for a minute. And when you come in, you're a history guy, I understand. So
I am, like yourself.
Like myself, and you love it. And you love local history, I suspect.
I do.
And you've got loads of it there in Killala.
Well, loads of it in Killala, and actually within, I'd say, 2 square miles of the school, there's a huge amount of history.
Yeah.
Like, we've an Ulm stone down the road. We have a Crumlock. We have a Druid's chair. We've Rathfran Abbey, which is a 12th century abbey. 3 miles down the road, we've Kilcommon, where the French landed in 1798.
Yeah.
In Killala town itself, you have a round tower in the middle of the town. There's loads of it.
And you come in the morning, and you'll write up a few facts, is that right?
What I do, I've sort of learned over the years, like, I'll do bits and pieces of history and geography generally, but I pick one major theme in history for the year and one major theme in geography. And because I've 4 classes in the one room, it's a 4-year cycle. So I might do 1798, I might do 1916, local history each year, World War II or World War I, and then I'll start all over again 4 years later doing 1798. So at least we cover sort of very important topics in great detail. And I do the same in geography. What I do is I'll do Africa 1 year, I'll do North America another year, Australia another year, South America. So I'll write maybe 4 or 5 facts on the board, again, for everybody.
And
you have to gauge it between the ability in third class and sixth class and try and keep it interesting for both. But maybe 4 or 5 facts every morning on the board, we learn them off. 4 or 5 more, and this might go on for weeks, but we keep revising them and going over them. And it's brilliant because, I suppose, repetition. Like, we did Africa this year as a continent.
Yes.
And I'd say, after 2 or 3 months of doing this every day, I said one day, right, come on, let's have some facts about Africa. We keep it going. So, love of Suez. So I think it went up to something like 150 facts.
That's gone. So it's all going in.
Yeah, and I think the repetition, you know, just go over every day, like practicing an instrument, keep going over and over.
Yeah.
I teach the children 2 words in my room, ad nauseum and ad infinitum. So when you're bored and sick and you're doing it all the time, you're going to remember it.
You're going to remember that. I think you get a bit of Latin in there as well. There's no harm. another language under the belt. Your travels abroad, like, you didn't just go from school, from your own school education to the college. You got a bit of the world under your belt, and you bring that to the classroom.
I do. That's the one thing. Like, there's a lovely old Irish shanachal on Chevin Shuluk, Begin Cheshkeluk. The one who travels has stories. And I took a career break after about 9 or 10 years teaching and traveled around the world. And I mean, it's brilliant, we'd say, when you're teaching about Africa, or you're teaching about Asia or Australia.
Yeah.
I've been to those places, and you can tell stories about eating guinea pigs in South America that horrifies the children.
They must love that, do they?
They do, well, yeah, but not the ones who own guinea pigs.
Well, I mean, but they love I know. And how does that go down, the guinea pig? Because where is it? Is it Peru? Where do you eat guinea pig?
It's Peru, somewhere. Yeah.
It's Peru.
It's like having a chicken on a Sunday. They have guinea pig. And I said I'd try it when I was there. And then I tell the children in school, and they go, oh, sir, that's awful. And then I just say, look, when I'm passing by Harkin's Pet Shop in Castlebar, I always get very hungry, you know. I might just pop in.
Do you want salt and vinegar with that guinea pig? Oh, that's great. So, but again, you wouldn't have known about that if you hadn't been on the move.
Absolutely.
And you bring that back with you, and you can say to the kids, you spend some time in Australia.
Yeah, and like, you're eating kangaroo burgers and you're trying, you know, tasting crocodile and things. That's very interesting. Yeah. And I think, you know, I always say to the children in the school that there's been 3 great teachers in history. One was Jesus Christ, one was Mahatma Gandhi, and the other was myself.
And tell me, why do you put yourself as part of that Holy Trinity?
Yeah, I don't really, because I'll just tell you a quick story. When you're dealing with children all the time, you're brought down to earth very quickly.
Yes.
We have a great music teacher who comes in, Tom Doherty. He's been coming for years. He teaches trad music.
Mm.
And I asked him years ago, will we do a few O'Carolan tunes? Because I like O'Carolan's music. So we did 2 or 3 O'Carolan tunes, and I spent a good while, you know, weeks and weeks talking about O'Carolan and his life and how he went blind and how his patron gave him a horse and cart. And we went on a school tour then down to the Arigna Mines in Leitrim. And there's a little sort of animal farm place nearest. So we did those 2. And then on the way back, O'Carolan is buried beside the mine.
Yeah.
I said, I got all the children out of the bus with their tin whistles, and we stood around his grave and we played a few of his tunes.
You are brilliant. Go on.
Well, I thought that was lovely, and I was sort of very proud of myself, you know, and thinking, this is great. And then I was talking to a parent a few weeks later, and I said, how did they enjoy the tour? And he said, oh, they loved the mine and they loved the farm. And I said, what about O'Carlan's grave? And he said, well, the child said to him, that was some old fellow. I haven't a clue who he was.
Yeah, but that's...
So it brings you back to earth very quickly.
With a land.
Absolutely.
They love to clip a wing, you know, if they...
That's the beauty of teaching children. You know, it's a lovely job because as a text came in there before the break with the person putting on the scrubs, it is a privilege, really.
For sure.
And I think the older you get and when you have your own children, you sort of realise, you know, it's a lovely job in that sense, being in the classroom.
You have how many children have you got?
There's 38 in the school. Myself?
Yes.
Yeah, no, I had three and my eldest lad died about 5 or 6 years ago. So I've two now.
Tell me about your son who died, would you?
Yeah, his name was Kevin, God rest him. And from a very young age, he had a lot of health issues. And then it turned out he had a progressive illness. Mm-hmm. And so we were actually put under palliative care, which actually was a great thing. Everybody hates the word, but actually it turned out really good because you get a lot of benefits. And one of which was that we got to go to Disneyland with him, with the Make-A-Wish Foundation. But we also used Laura Lynn, which is a wonderful... Amazing. I know you're a great advocate for Laura Lynn. Mm-hmm. Fair play to you.
Mm-hmm. What was your son's name?
Kevin.
And what happened?
He had serious health issues and they were just getting worse the whole time. And you'd think, okay, we'll deal with this and then something else will come along. And just gradually, you know, you knew he wasn't going to live a long life, really. You hoped he would. And we did our best. And the wonderful people in the hospital in Castlebar and Temple Street and Crumlin and everywhere else did their best. And we tried to give him as happy a life as possible. And we had a great crack with him. And, you know, we miss him greatly, but he brought an awful lot of joy to us when he was alive.
And how old was Kevin when he passed
away? He was 8 and a half, nearly 9.
There's nothing right about that.
Yeah. Again, it gives you great insight, I think, into life, that you see, you try and cut through all the nonsense in life, because there's no time for it, you know? Mm. And I think it makes you more empathetic to people who are in, you know, various types of trouble in their lives, and you try and be a bit more sympathetic maybe and a bit more kind and a bit more understanding, because people were very kind to us and very understanding. So I think you try and give that back, Ryan, you know.
You said you had great crack with them.
We did have great crack.
What did you get up to?
Everything. I mean, Kevin was the epitome of, we'll say, mindfulness. He lived life in the moment and he loved the crack and he loved messing. And we brought him to Disneyland, and at that time, he was on oxygen and he had the cannulas in, you know, the tube going up your nose and the oxygen cylinder. And we're going on one of the big, like Thunder Mountain or one of those type of things. And the man said, no, you cannot bring the child. So we just took off the oxygen for a few minutes and off we went. And he loved it, and back on again. And I used to put him on the back of my bike. He loved to have the wind blowing in his face. So he'd be on the back and he'd be leaning out and I'd be thinking, God, he's going to bang his head off the wall. So, you know, anything that he did, he enjoyed, and therefore we enjoyed. I used to put him on my lap coming down the big slide on Westport House, and now my backside hardly fitted on the mat. You know, the mat you slide on.
Mm-hmm. I've been there, yeah.
Holding him in front, hoping both of us wouldn't fall off. So, you know, he did bring an awful lot of joy to us. He loved life. He fought very hard to hold on to his life, unfortunately. He died at a very young age, but...
I was talking to Barry McGuigan on Friday night.
I saw that, and fair play to him for coming on, yeah.
He wanted to, and it was hard, and I you know, look, he's a father like you are, like I am, but he lost his daughter, Nika, you lost Kevin, and I don't know how you then go back to... He'll you know, train in the gym or face all the children and teach again and keep going. I'm always struck by how hard that must be, and how you accommodate the reality of not having Kevin there physically.
Yeah, well, as we went to a wonderful 3 weekends of a bereavement thing in Barrettstown, and a wonderful man there who ran it, and he basically said, you know, the worst thing that can happen to you in life has happened. A bomb has gone off in your life.
Yeah.
But I suppose when you go to work, you have to focus on the work.
Mm.
And you have to get on. You have other children, and, you know, it is very difficult. What can you do? You try and support each other and get on with it as best you can.
How old are your other children?
14 and 11.
14, and their names?
Yeah. Erla, because my name is Jarlett officially.
Yes.
So Erla is the Irish for Jarlett, and Hannah.
And Hannah. And they're happy?
Yeah, they're upstairs now. It's a bit like homeschooling here. My wife and the kids and the dog went upstairs in case the dog started barking during this interview. I was doing a Zoom call to some of the children in school last week, and in the middle of it all, the dog started barking. So I had to bring up the dog and introduce him to the children.
Of course, they only love that. That's any.
Yeah.
You're Jarlett, but Chuck is what everyone insists on calling you, and you not that you insist, but that you just it, Chuck stuck.
It did from a very young age.
And can I ask you why?
Well, apparently when I was a baby and my siblings were pushing me around in the pram, there was an older neighbour who was a bit hard of hearing, and he said to my brothers, what's his name? And they said, Jarlett. And I think he didn't quite get it, and he said, Charlie. And then he said, Charlie Chuck married the duck. The duck died and Charlie cried. And they started calling me Chuck. And
you have a story for every occasion. I'll tell you what, you're some man. As somebody says here, I'm 49 years old and I want to go back to school and go to Chuck's class. I definitely, that great man says on you talking about teaching his class. It reminds me of Little House in the Prairie in the best possible way. That's a brilliant teacher. Take it from me, Ryan, says Brian. He makes it sound easy. He's an absolute pro and the children are learning all day. I'm a deputy principal myself and know the challenges every day that we face. And this teacher is a man that shapes hearts and minds. Never forget what teachers strive for every day. They give it everything. There's a lot of appreciation for you here, I must say. A wonderful teacher, says another, lucky kids in Killala. In my mind, I think he must look like Willy Wonka. His classroom must be amazing. And Anne says, that man has stopped me in my tracks. What a gentleman, what a teacher. Sorry to hear he lost his son. He's an amazing man. And that school principal, says Anna in Dunleary, is truly amazing. Not to mention his wonderful team. He deserves an award. Would be interesting to see how his pupils have been after their brilliant experiences with him. Do you have a good sort of alumni scenario in terms of, do they come back to you? Do they keep in touch?
Yeah, they do, which is lovely. Like a little tradition started a number of years ago. When the children who go to first year, I'd be joking with them in sixth class. When you come back now, when you go to first year, you do home economics, come back and bring a few cakes and buns. And they actually did. And it's lovely. And they go in and visit me and they go in and visit Mrs. Holmes. I mean, Mrs. Holmes is super because she, as I said to her, she whips them into shape metaphorically. And then they come in to me and I just continue on. She's all the hard work done. But they come back every year. Well, they don't obviously this year. And it's just lovely. And then you can sort of talk to them about how they're getting on. And it's good for the present sixth class, you know, to take a bit of the fear away, I suppose, or the unknown of secondary school. And then a lot of them will come back for work experience, which is great. Because, you see them develop and you follow them through, I suppose, to a degree, how they're getting on in life and what jobs. And I'm always sort of saying to my wife, who's a nurse tutor, one or two of them have gone on to be nurses and doctors. And I'm thinking, I hope I treated that person well because I have visions of me lying down in a bed with them standing over me with a big injection going, oh, Mr. Dunford.
Oh, you're good. You're investing in your own future there.
Yeah, absolutely.
As Karen says, I'm a teacher in London listening to the school teacher from Mayo, an inspirational man. Isn't that lovely to hear?
It's nice to hear positive things, but I suppose...
Oh, very positive, very.
We're all human. We all make mistakes. I think everybody in every school just tries their best. You know, you do your best for the children in front of you. You're going to make mistakes. Some of those plates are going to spin off. Everybody tries their best. And I'm lucky in the school. I mean, all the staff are super, in fairness. All pull together. We all discuss things. Some of the staff have much more experience than I have and, you know, more knowledge and things. So we swap it around. And with all the local schools locally, it's the same thing. You'll ring up and say, look, would you have a policy on this? Or what do you think of this? Or swap furniture. You know what I mean? We all work very well together. Mm. I have to say, thank God, it makes life easy for everybody, you know.
Chuck, you're the reason I admire teachers so much. I really mean that from the bottom of my heart. And Killala is somewhere I really, I'm very keen to get to see as soon as this thing passes. Yeah, we're going to make our way down to see you and
do, and come in and have a look at the school, and you're always welcome.
I'll be there if you'll have me.
I will have you any time, Ryan. And could I just do a quick shout out, Ryan?
Yes.
Could I say thanks to my manager, Father Harrison,
sure,
the local parish priest, who's a great servant of the community, and we have a great board of management. But there's a neighbour there, Phyllis Lavin, who lives near the school, and she's always chatting to the kids when she goes on her walk, and she brings them sweets at Christmas and during the year. Lovely lady. She's having a significant birthday, I think, this Thursday, so I'd like to wish her all the best and a happy birthday. And of course, a big shout out to all the children in Temple Mary National School.
Well, that's the best way to do it. It's been great to talk to you, Chuck. Mind yourself and best to the kids, and thank you for your time today. To you and your family, wish you every success and happiness.
Thank you very much, Ryan.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Megan.
All right.